Chapter number 6, and Junior Church, you are dismissed. And the rest of us, when we find our place there in Mark 6, we are going to read from verse 30 down through verse number 44. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 30, when you find your place there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Verse number 30, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by a ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he had come out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him, and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread, and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed, and brake the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they did eat of the loaves, were about 5,000 men. And let's stop there. Let's pray, and then we'll be seated. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the instruction and the enlightenment it gives concerning your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you for his work done on the cross. We thank you for his miracles and his teaching that we'll look at this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to find our place there among the crowd that partook of the loaves and partook of the fish. Lord, I help us to identify ourselves with your disciples who served you and worked for you. Lord, I pray that you would just make your word live among us today. May we be challenged by it. May you do a work in our lives, we pray, and we'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. We're in a series through the Gospel of Mark, and it always is a joy to go through the Gospels and discover the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ is a perfect God-man. If you want to know what God would act like if he was human and he were here on earth, it's very easy to do. Look at the Gospels there in your New Testament, and you'll see his behavior, and you'll see the way that God would act, and you would see the things that God cares about. And you see the thing that God is interested in. And through the series here in the book of Mark, we see in Mark chapter number 6 is the chapter of unbelief. We see that Jesus was rejected in his hometown of Nazareth. And we compared with the Gospel of John, that they would have taken Jesus, they would have taken God, and they would have thrown him off a cliff there, but it was not yet his time. He performed a miracle and walked through their midst. We see right after the rejection that the Lord Jesus said he sent his 12 out and gave them power, and they went out and they copied what the Lord was to do. We're in our series, Being a Gospel Parent, tonight. And really, you and I are supposed to behave towards people the same way that the Lord Jesus behaved towards people. So the Lord trained his 12 disciples. And here's what a disciple is. You want to know the definition of a disciple? It means the adherent to another, the doctrine of another. How many in school ever took the super glue and glued your fingers together? Okay, you know what happened? Your one finger was a disciple of the other finger. Okay? The Lord is interested in not just hearers, and he has many hearers here in our story. He has approximately 20,000 hearers. But here, he's interested in you and I becoming not just hearers, but disciples. Not hearers only, but also doers of the word. And so as he sends his disciples forward to preach, something very sad happens. The Lord Jesus Christ's cousin, the one who was his forerunner, his introducer, John the Baptizer. John the Baptizer, he is killed by a wicked king, Herod. And so here, as the disciples come back, verse number 30 in our text, it says, the apostles gathered themselves together. This is after their preaching ministry. Then this is after the bad news of John the Baptist being beheaded. Verse number 30, they come back to the right place. And this is a true sense, a church service gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ. And the apostles gathered themselves together. They assembled unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. There's prayer here upon this earth. This is us bringing our cares to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus, being the good shepherd, he knows what his sheep need. And here, when you work for the Lord and you're giving out, you also have to be taking in. Okay, when you're a gospel parent and you're parenting somebody else and you are giving all this nourishment and nutrition to a youngster, you have to be taking in more of it yourself as you're giving out. And so they've been giving. They come back to the Lord Jesus Christ and they come back with bad news about John the Baptist. And here's his advice to them. Verse number 31. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Right there in the middle, coming and going, you can describe that as the rat race. It's amazing how many people have to work their job. Why do you have to work their job? Well, so I can put food on the table. Well, why would you want to put food on the table? So I have the strength to go work my job. And so why again do you work your job? So I can put food on the table. And why do you put food on the table? Well, so I have strength to work my job. Going to and fro without the Lord Jesus Christ equals pointless. Okay? There's one distinctive that you and I have as believers that separates us from the world. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, come apart and rest a while. And we heard a wonderful message Thursday night about having a personal Bible reading time, a personal quiet, what we call a quiet time with the Lord. A couple of guys in jail, as I preached to them in jail, one of my favorite verses to quote to them is, be still and know that I am God. Every once in a while, God puts you in a jail cell of your own making. He says, be quiet. There's nothing else that you can do. How many people were saved on their sickbed? How many people were saved when they had somebody that was close to them break their heart? How many were saved when they were looking at cancer or they were looking at some sort of illness or a sickness? And he says to his disciples, come apart and rest a while. Old Vance Havner used to say this, a famous preacher years gone by. He said, if you don't come apart, you will come apart. Sunday used to be known in this country as the Lord's Day or as the Sabbath day. Talk to those who lived through the 50s and 60s. You'll see that there was no businesses open. This wasn't top down. A lot of times here, we're hoping in this election that we can have top down morality. We'll get a president in there. Fat chance of that is going to dictate morality and everybody will have to live according to certain morals. You know, back in the 50s and 60s, there was no law that said you had to have your business closed on Sunday. You know that? This was a bottom-up child of God, a children of God principle, that there was no point, and it would, you know, offend a lot of my customers if I had my business open on Sunday. This was bottom-up morality. Now, today in Black River, we had a 5K. Anybody run that 5K? Because I was the only one to run it. I ran it in my suit. My dress, just kidding, I did not, okay? But I was asked by somebody in town to get the church involved in the 5K. Okay, whatever, I took the flyer and I didn't say anything, but here I thought, what am I supposed to do, cancel church so we can all put on our running shoes? You know, that's what they make Monday through Saturday for, okay? Sunday is not for for me putting on the dress shoes and sending the church people out and saying, hey, this is normal. Sunday was a day of rest. Let me ask you something. Is God ever tired? No, he's not. Do you know that after 6 days of creation, that God rested? He says to his disciples, you need to come apart and you need to rest. You need to spend time. Notice their rest was centered around. This was a spiritual rest. It talks about Hebrews entering into his rest. This is about resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come apart to a desert place, a quiet place. I want you to do an investigation in your Bible and you'll see that whether it was Isaiah or whether it was Ezekiel or one of the prophets or anybody who God has spoken to, it has always been in that quiet place. Solitude where they are alone with God by themselves. We see the principle carried out by our Lord as, you know, when Judas here, a few chapters from now, betrays him, they knew where they could find the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to be in the Garden of Gethsemane in his quiet place. He was going to be praying. And remember that the Lord challenged his disciples. He said, could ye not pray with me for 1 hour? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. They get on the boat here in verse number 33, or verse 32, and he says, depart into a desert place by ship privately. Verse 33, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent him, and came together unto him. And so they sail by ship from Nazareth here across the lake, approximately 4 miles. The people run around about 8 miles around the lake, and they say, oh, that's Christ. Let's go meet him when he comes on shore. This would be the equivalent of, how many got a vacation plan this year? One of you, come, how many have a vacation plan this year? Ready? Okay, and we do. We're going to Rodanthe out on the Outer Banks down in North Carolina, and we're excited about it. September, and we talk about it all the time. It's only 2 weeks of our life, but we talk about it. We're excited about that. Just out there on the beach, we have a porch right overlooking the beach, just quiet. You hear the, you know, you go to sleep, the ocean waves coming at night, and it's just that time of R&R, rest and relaxation, and we'll be there for 11 days and having a good time. I can't imagine what it would be like if we went down there, just have a little break, get a little R&R refreshment, and we go down, and soon as we open up the door to our cabin, we open up the door, and I see all of your lovely faces in there, and you say, surprise, we're taking a vacation with you. And this is exactly what happens to the disciples when they show up on the other shore. They were supposed to have a time of rest and relaxation with the Lord, and they do not get it. They were outrun and overrun by the crowd, by the multitude, and they meet the Lord Jesus on the shore. And of course, what I would do is slam the door shut real quick and go find another place to rent quickly as well. But you see, the Lord had a different demeanor here. And look at what the Lord saw. And it says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And so the Lord looked upon these people, and it says that he was moved with compassion towards them. And here's what this move with compassion means. It means the center part of our being when we're really emotionally moved. And think of the different times in your life. It might have been, you know, guys are like this. Let me tell you how guys are. As we're either stoic or we are, at least, I don't know about all guys, but I think most of them, or they're either hit their emotions where they can't like really function. They can't do both at one time. I mean, a woman can cry and talk and communicate. Some guys maybe can. I don't know too many of them. You know, like if the baby's born, you know, the guy, you know, it's either a very emotional time or it's a stoic time. And every time one of our babies has been born, they caught me at a stoic moment out of the blue. Okay, let's do this. All right, no emotion at all. But those emotional times, perhaps you get married, you see, the bride coming down the aisle. I mean, the future, you know, the mother of your children, the woman you're going to spend your life with. I mean, there should be some emotion there, that feeling right here. Longs, moved with compassion. You know, when you see your children, you hold your child for the first time, you're introduced, "Hi, I'm your daddy." That does something for you emotionally. This is the kind of emotion that the Lord was feeling, that he was moved in his physical being as he looked upon the multitudes. He was moved towards them. And I want you to notice what the Lord saw. You know, if you were a dentist here this morning, you know, you'd probably be looking at all of our teeth and, you know, say, you know, it looked like you got a cavity started there, or looked like, you know, I could give you some braces to straighten out that mess, and whatever. If you were a dietitian, you know, you look at some people and say, man, they must have a terrible diet. They look awful. That's what you would see as you looked in them. You know, if you're a car salesman, you would look at people and think, you know, I can get you a new car, I'll get you a good deal on this. How many ever noticed this when you buy a new car? There's tons of people, I mean hundreds of people, that have the same car as you all over the place. How many ever noticed that? Because, you know, that's what you were seeing. Kind of like if you paint a lot, you know, every time we start painting project on the church, every building, every place I look into, I'm looking at the paint. That's all I see is the paint. The same way with the flooring. And so here the Lord, the Creator, okay, your Creator and mine, he looks upon the multitude, and what need does he see with the multitude? It says that they were sheep without a shepherd. And I'm not going to give you a long dissertation about sheep this morning, but let me just tell you, bottom line, that a sheep without a shepherd is going to perish. That a sheep without a shepherd is going to die. And he's looked at this multitude and he says that these people aren't going to make it. They aren't going to live unless someone takes it upon their shoulders, to help and instruct his people. And it says there that he taught them. And again, as we go through the Gospel of Mark, that we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, above all things, miracle worker or anything else, that he was a preacher of the gospel. He was a preacher of repentance. He said, turn from your sin, turn toward God. What did David say? The Lord is my what? Shepherd. Who is the good shepherd this morning? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now David said this, and we use this pronoun, the Lord is my shepherd, that it is personal. It says in Isaiah 53, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray, each to our own way. Let me tell you something about yourself this morning, is that you have a personal philosophy of life. Here's what I mean by that. Every decision that you make is born out of your way of looking at the world. Okay? The Bible talks about the days of Noah. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It didn't say every man did that which is wrong. It said every man did that which is what? Right in my own eyes. And so a sheep says, oh, you know, I'm going to go down here and drink out of this mud puddle. The sheep doesn't know. The shepherd knows that you drink out of that mud puddle, that is going to be full of parasites, and that is going to cause you bloat, and that is going to kill you. And the sheep says, I think this is a good way to go. The shepherd knows that if you go that way, that's a desert out there, and if you go that way, you're going to die. And the sheep says, I'm going to go out this way. And the shepherd knows that if you go that way, you're going to walk straight off a cliff, and it's going to be to your own detriment and to your own instruction. So the Lord taught them many things. Here's what somebody said about the Bible. B-I-B-L-E-S, that's the book for me. You know, this is God's final authority. Creator God, who created the universe, wrote you and wrote myself an instruction manual. Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. I came up with that myself. Just kidding. This is our instruction manual. So he started to explain to the sheep which way to go. Which way to go? And you know, a preacher is a preach the word. All he's supposed to do is just give out and preach and proclaim the instructions and explain. This is the way that God wants for us to go. And so the shepherd is teaching the sheep there. Now, in verse number 35, it says, "And the day was now far spent. The Lord preached all day long." And it says, "His disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and the time is now far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, that they might buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat." I just wanted you to notice three things this morning. I'm going to talk about this. The first thing is the load. The next thing is going to be the loaves, and the next thing is going to be the Lord. First, I want you to notice is the Lord. The load. I shouldn't have used all L's. That's confusing. The load. What's the load? Give ye them to eat. You know, if you're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to be a follower of Him, you're going to do the things that He loves, and you're going to do the things that He cares about. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ cares about? He cares about other people. "I came to seek and to save that which was lost. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." That you are His ambassadors, that you are His servants, that you stand in Christ's stead, that you and I were to perpetuate His word. Here's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He said, "Greater things shall ye do, because I go to my Father." Okay? So he said to his disciples, he says, "You're going to do more than I did when I was on earth, because I'm going to go to the Father." And here's what he said. "I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to send another comforter, the Spirit of truth, and he that is with you shall be in you." You know why that us Christ's disciples can do more of His work than He did on earth? Because the Holy Spirit of God can do a work through us that could not be done when the Lord Jesus Christ was here upon this earth. We teach somebody this. "No, you're a sinner." "Yes, I know I'm a sinner." "You know the price on sin?" "Yes, the price on sin is hell." "What did Jesus do for you on the cross?" "Christ died for you." And you realize heaven's a free gift that Christ paid for your salvation on the cross. "Yes, I realize that's a free gift." You want to receive Christ as your Savior and receive the free gift of salvation. "Yes, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." Well, could you pray this to the Lord and mean this in your heart? Could you say, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me my sins and come into my heart and be my Savior." How many ever heard about a prayer asking Jesus into your heart? You know, that was something you can actually believe. That's not just a fairy tale. You know what Colossians says? "Christ in you, the hope of glory." That Christ wants to do a work through me. That Christ wants to reach out to others, and He wants to use my body to do it. What does the scripture say? What is the temple of the Holy Spirit? My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That means God wants to do a work through me. Now, here's what the Lord does. There's 5,000. There's 5,000 people besides women and children. And let me say this about this miracle. It's recorded in all four Gospels. There's only one other miracle that's recorded in all four Gospels, and that is the miracle of the resurrection. So this is the most important miracle besides the resurrection of Jesus Christ that was done. Now, the feeding of, we say the 5,000, but it says 5,000 men. How many know men eat a lot more than women? I can eat like three times as much as my wife when we sit down to eat. And I guarantee it's three times. If you weighed that food, it'd be three times as much. And so there's 5,000 men. And just remember that they just ran 8 miles, okay? Probably about 8 miles across. And how many know that running makes you hungry? Okay, and so they had a vigorous appetite, and not only was there 5,000 men there, it says also women. So if you say there's 5,000 men, there's probably 5,000 women, and then if there's 5,000, then there's probably, oh, let's say 10,000 children there at the same time. So you're saying a multitude of perhaps 20,000 people, and here the Lord puts this burden upon his disciples' shoulders. He says, you feed the multitudes, you give them something to eat. Let me tell you something, this is overwhelming task. But the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, when you look at this wicked world in which we live, you know, God, if you're saved here this morning and you receive Christ as your Savior, you have a burden that God has placed upon your shoulders. It's amazing how people receive Christ. We heard some prayer requests this morning. Soon as they receive Christ, I want to tell you something. The day I got saved as a 22-year-old man, the day I was saved, I was burdened for other people. I was burdened. I wanted them to enjoy the same thing that I enjoyed. I wanted them to come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and it's an amazing thing. It says that the disciples' hearts were hardened after this. Okay, it says in another gospel. But it's amazing how when you first receive Christ, that you think, you know, I've told you before, when I first got saved, I thought everyone I talked to was going to get saved because I'm Jack. You're going to believe me, I'm Jack. Man, I've known for how long? I mean, would I lie to you? I'm telling you the truth. And they look at me like that puppy dog look, you know, just like, how many have had a puppy dog? You go like this to the puppy dog, woo, 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 like this. I promise you, puppy dogs go. Look at you like this. Like, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're saying. And I got these puppy dog looks. You know, after a while, in reaching out, you know, people get calloused over, and they really don't think that people get saved. They really don't think God can do anything in people's life. That's why, you know, churches in their outreach ministry is so anemic, so shallow, so weak. You know why? It's because God's people don't have faith that it can be done. You know, and we get very pessimistic. Have you ever heard of Jerry Clower? Man, you'll understand more about your Bible if you listen to some Jerry Clower. He's an old school comedian. And Jerry Clower, he told a story one time, I remember, about a paratrooper. And he says, this guy was a pessimist. I grew up with him. And he says, you know, playing football, he says, you know, he'd be one of these guys, kind of like Eeyore. He said, well, it's probably going to rain today, you know, that kind of guy. And playing football, he said, well, we're probably going to lose, you know. This is a tough team. And he says he joined the paratroopers. He's down in Fort Bragg, and he's getting instructed. He says, on the count of four, he says, you're going to go jump out of window right here. He says you're going to count. He's going to count to nine, and then you're going to pull the ripcord on your right side. And he says, just in case something goes wrong, just in case that chute doesn't open, you reach up the left side and pour the emergency ripcord, and you pull that next. And so the pessimist jumps out of the plane, and he counts 9 seconds. And sure enough, when he pulls the ripcord, nothing happens. He says he reaches with his left hand over his left shoulder and pulls the emergency ripcord, and sure enough, again, as he knew that nothing happened. And they said, as he sailed by the other paratroopers on his way down the ground, he says, there, I bet those trucks aren't going to be there to pick us up either. And here's the disciples. Here's what they say to the Lord Jesus. I want you to notice here. He says in verse 36, he says, send them away. He says, send them away. And you see the disciples in the relationship with Christ, I mean, they had a send them away ministry. I mean, they really did. You see the two blind men calling after Jesus. He says, Lord, send them away. And you see, you know, the woman, whether it's with the issue of blood or others, it says, send them away. Send them away. Forgive us space with the Lord. And the Lord says, no, you give them something to eat. This was a test of trust. Look at verse number 37 again. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? 200 pennyworth was going to be 200 days' salary. And so they said, if we had 200 days' salary with us, would that even meet the need? And here's, again, the Bible says, walk by faith and not by sight. And many times we think if the circumstances were different, then we could provide for the need. It's kind of like the government. Any problem, they always think, can be solved with more money. We have an education problem. Well, if we give more money to education, that's going to solve the need. You know, whether it's a defense problem or whatever, they're going to pump money into it and they think it's the need. And so here he says, if we had circumstances that were different, we could meet this need. And then I want you to notice the next thing here. Verse number 38, it says, He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It says in the Gospel of John, the little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It says 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. So this was a lunch for a little boy. This wasn't big Panera bread loaves, okay? This was going to be a little equivalent of almost crackers, 5 little crackers and 2 small pickled fishes, and that was it. It was insufficient. God has given you, the Bible says, a certain number of talents. You know, in the parable of the talents, the Bible says that he issued to some 1, 2, another 3, and another 5. And then the Lord comes back for a return on his investment that he gave these people. So he goes to the 1 with 5. He says, praise the Lord. He says, I had 5 that you gave me. And he says, and now, he says, I have 10. I've used those talents wisely. I've expanded them. And then he goes to the 1 with 3. And he says, you gave me 3. And he says, and now I have 6. 2, the guy with 2, has 4. And then he goes to the one with 1. And he says, Lord, you know, he says, you try to reap where you sowed not. He says, I only had 1, and so what did I do? I put it in the ground, and I buried it. And so we know that human nature says this, I could do something for the Lord, but I have insufficient ability. Let me tell you something. Everybody in this world has an excuse for why they cannot personally serve the Lord, why they personally can't go all out for Christ. They have some reason. They have some reason. Man, the devil will give you a book of excuses why you should not give your 5 loaves and 2 fishes and shouldn't give them unto the Lord. And here's what they do. They give to the Lord. Remember that the Lord said in Matthew chapter number 18, the disciples asked him, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he brought to them a little child. He says, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is going to be like as unto this little child. One thing about a child, little child, is that they have childlike faith. They just believe that they bring their 5 loaves and 2 fishes to the Lord, that the Lord is going to bless them, that the Lord's going to break that, and the Lord's going to multiply that. I mean, you think 5 loaves and 2 fishes, 1 little boy's lunch, and that's all that they have, but yet they still bring that unto the Lord. The Bible says this, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You know what humility is? Is you giving yourself completely unto the Lord. You see here this morning, you say, well, I just can't do it for the Lord. You know, the Bible says, humble yourself. Humble yourself doesn't mean you think too much to serve the Lord. Humble yourself says, I just have a little, and so I can't serve the Lord. But the Lord says, you come and you give unto the Lord. You know, the only way that God ever judges somebody's giving is in the sense of how much they hold back. We see that with the widow's mite. You know what the Lord said about the widow as she threw her 1 little mite, 1 little penny, into the offering. The Lord says, she has given more than they all. We see that with the gift of the alabaster box. the little boy, as they were giving an offering for the Lord, and a special offering in a church, and didn't have anything in his pocket. He reached in his pocket. Sure enough, there was nothing there, not even a penny. As the ushers went by his pew, yes, the usher said, "Will you lower that a little bit more?" He said, "Would you lower that plate just a little bit more? Would you lower it a little bit more?" They got all the way down to the floor. The little boy stepped in it. And let me tell you something this morning. Here's what God wants. He wants you. He wants you to give everything to Him. He wants your heart. There was a famous evangelist last century, right around the 1850s, right in the middle of the century, a man named D.L. Moody, and he was an uneducated young man, shoe salesman in Chicago. God used him in a mighty, mighty, mighty way, and many into the millions of people walked down the aisles, both in America and then also in England. And gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ because of the preaching of D.L. Moody. And he was got criticized because he butchered the King's English. He couldn't pronounce things right. And he couldn't read his scripture right. But he'd get there up there and cry and preach and preach and beg people to come to Christ. And he says one day that a woman criticized him and said this. She said, "I don't like the way you do your church service." And he said to her, he said, "I agree with you. I don't like the way I do it either." And then he said, "Tell me, how do you do it?" And the lady replied, "I don't do it." And then Moody retorted, "I like the way that I do it better than the way you don't do it." How do you share the faith? Well, it's not very good. I mean, I just tell them about this, and I don't know if that's the right way. I don't know if that's the right approach. And the question is, well, how do you do it? How do you give? How do you serve? How do you participate? I said, "Well, I don't." And here Moody says, "I like the way that I do it better than the way that you don't do it." They gave the loaves unto the Lord. I think of a song that says this: "Every work for Jesus will be blessed, but He asks from everyone His best. Our talents may be few, these may be all, but unto Him is due our best, our all." Verse 39, it says there, "And He commanded them to make them all sit down in companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when He had taken the five loaves and two fishes, He looked up to heaven and blessed, and brake the loaves and gave them to His disciples to set before them. And two fishes were divided among them all, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men." I want you to notice this, is that any offering that is given to the Lord, I'm talking about your time, your talent, and your treasure, that the Lord receives. Let me tell you something this morning, is that God wants you. Heard about a telemarketer that calls. We have a landline here at church, and it's reserved for telemarketers. How many have a landline? It's one of those, here's what it means by landline. It means that there's like a telephone pole out in front of your house, and a line comes in. Got a cord to a thing about this big with a handle on. And that's what a landline is. We switched to cell phones, I think my wife and I did, probably about 12 years ago. We haven't had a landline, but we have one here at church. And telemarketers call it about 15 times a day, it seems like. And I heard the story about one time, telemarketer called a house, and someone said, "Hello," like that, whispered, "Hello." The telemarketer said, "Yes, is there somebody I can talk to?" He's telling the little boy, and the little boy said, "Yes, my mother." And he said, "Well, is she available? Can I talk to her?" He says, "No, she's busy." He said, "Well, can I talk to your father then? Is he home?" He says, "Yes, he's home, but he's busy." He says, "Well, is there anybody else there at the house?" He says, "Yes, the fire department." And he says, "Can I talk to a fireman?" He said, "No, they're busy." I said, well, is there anybody else? He said, well, the police, police department's here. I said, can I talk to a police officer? He said, no, they're busy. He said, well, son, he says, your mom's home, your dad's home, the fire department's there, the police department's there. And he said, they're all busy. He said, what are they busy doing? He said, looking for me. And you know something about the Lord this morning is that the Lord is looking for you. You know, if you give everything that you've got to the Lord and you dedicate your heart, you dedicate your life to Him, you'll be amazed by the outcome. You'll be amazed by the results. You'll be amazed about how God will use you and use your life. Thursday night, Dr. Mark Rasmussen, who preached here for us, he said, how long you been here? I said, 7 years. And he says, you know, he says, the ministry, he says, is gauged by decades and not by years. And he says, when you're here 10 years, you'll look back and see amazing fruit. And he says, when you serve the Lord 20 years, he says, you'll look back and see even more fruit. And 30 years, you'll look back and see even more fruit. And he says, and you stay faithful to the Lord. You know, and I'm talking to people this morning, if you just would mark out a spot in your life and say that we are going to be dedicated, we're going to be consecrated to the Lord, and we're going to give the little that we got. We're insignificant. We're just one family. We're just a husband and wife. We're this or that, but we're going to faithfully give that to the Lord. As you know, the Lord's going to bless it. The Lord's going to multiply it. The Lord's going to increase it. You know what the Bible says about giving? It says, "Given it shall be given unto you." I want you to notice there that 12 baskets were taken up, and most scholars say, well, 12 baskets for each of the apostles. You know, I believe that those were the baskets of the apostles, because everybody carried that little lunch sack back in this day, and there was a basket. But you know, the Bible doesn't say, given it shall be given to the apostles. It says, given it shall be given unto you. You know whose 12 baskets that was? That was that little boy's. You know, in prayer, the Bible says that you ask, it says you'll receive exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. One time Peter says, we've given everything to serve you, Lord. What shall we get? He says, no man is given houses, no man is given lands that will not be given more than 100-fold. Let me tell you something. You have an investment opportunity this morning with returns guaranteed. If you give to the Lord, you say, hey, I'm going to decide my life. I'm going to decide with my family and me personally that I am going to give every little thing that I have, and I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to give Him my I'm going to give Him my 5 loaves, I'm going to give Him my 2 fishes, and I'm going to trust Him that He is going to increase it. Let's all stand. And let's have heads bowed and eyes closed. We'll have a hymn of invitation. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You just for the principle here of blessing and breaking this bread. Lord, I pray that You'd help us this morning just in our heart, that we would just decide that we're going to give You, as this little boy did so long ago, our 5 loaves, our 2 fishes, that we're going to follow You, that we're going to serve You and give our hearts to You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As a pianist plays, by testimony of an uplifted hand, you'd say, I know for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. I know for sure that I'm saved. I know that Jesus is in my heart and in my life. I'll slip my hand up as testimony of that fact this morning. God bless you. If you're here and you say, I have some doubts in my heart, my prayer is that I know for sure if I were to die that I would go to heaven. And that's my prayer this morning. If that's you, would you slip up your hand? God bless you. God bless you. And let's pray. Lord, we thank You. I pray that You'd bless our response to Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Altar's open. You come this morning if the Lord spoke to your heart.